announcements this morning, and then we will have a financial report from our brother Gary Thomas, and then it'll be my privilege to minister at this ministry meeting. Brother Eric Peterson will be speaking at 11:30 at the Family Bible Hour. This evening we'll commence our studies in the book of Revelation at our chapel Bible study time at 7 p.m. Tuesday evening, Jeet Bhatti will be speaking at the prayer and Bible teaching time. And then on Friday evening at 7:30, the young people will meet. Next Sunday morning, our brother Ron Edgecombe will be ministering at both the meetings at 10:30 and 11:30. And the Revelation studies will continue in the evening. Next Sunday morning, or next Saturday morning rather, will be our prayer day. And we're going to spend, we'll meet here at 8:30 in the morning for a very light breakfast. And then we will pray until noon. Our specifics for prayer will be the ongoing activities of the assembly, but in particular our ESL activities, and our ESL teachers this year with extra responsibility, as we'll get to later, are Suwa Yong, Sharon Chow, Pamela Chown, Marilyn Asavian, Miriam Gregory, Jazz Bhatti, Jan Lin Yong, and Barbara Cummings. Pray for them, and we will specifically be remembering them in prayer on Saturday morning. You might like to bring along your assembly prayer list at that time. The assembly telephone directory, if you want to call it that. And we'll have opportunity then to pray for a number of things, but especially a great number of people. So that's Saturday morning. Next Sunday at lunch, we will recommence our fellowship classes, and they will take place immediately after a brief lunch. The following Sunday, we're going to have what we call a fellowship lunch, and a little bit more on that later. But that's going to be a time for anybody and everybody just to get together. We're going to have a light lunch together, and we're going to get to know one another. An opportunity for talking and fellowshipping together, an unstructured time, which more on that later as well. We're getting a lot of things later this morning, but this unstructured time can be very, very beneficial. October the 3rd will be our missionary breakfast at Bethany Chapel, 8:30 in the morning, or Bethany Baptist Church. Tickets from Gary Thomas. Plan to come. Please get your tickets. You must have a ticket in order to get a breakfast. There is no charge for those tickets. And that afternoon, there will be a memorial service at 2 p.m. at 10th Avenue Chapel for our late sister, Grace Cochran. She went home to be with the Lord a couple of months ago, and the memorial will be 2 weeks yesterday, 2 o'clock in the afternoon at 10th Avenue Chapel. Continue to pray about the men's conference a couple of weeks' time up in Morningstar Bible Camp, and also remember the seniors' lunch, November the 5th. We are hoping, regarding our Sunday school activities, to have a children's choir and a children's musical program. We're going to be running that. Marilyn Asavian is going to be running that for the Sunday school scholars. Every second Sunday, they're going to be downstairs working on this program. We're hoping to have a choir, and I'm bold enough to call it a performance choir. We're hoping that it's going to be good enough to have some special activities around the Christmas time. It's the kind of thing that we might be able to interest some children in being part of. We need to build our Sunday school, and so these brochures are on the back table. Help yourself and give them to children that you might be interested, who think might be interested in them. I think those are all the announcements at this time. As I say, more to come. But Gary, why don't you give us a financial report?
This is the financial report for the month of July. We started out the month with a deficit of $1,051. Our offerings for the month were $9,938.53. Expenses, repairs and maintenance to the chapel, $1,400. Sunday school expenses, $233.79. Gifts to the Lord's servants, Sam Cairns, $200. Christopher Maddox, $600. Rob Brennan, $300. Sean O'Byrne, $600, leaving a balance to the credit of the assembly of $5,550.77. And that balance was such because, did you notice, the usual big checks that I usually write out every month didn't get written because I was away for the last 2 weeks of the month. And so those checks didn't get written until the 1st of August. And as Harold says, I've got lots of tickets for the breakfast, so please see me. Thank you. So look to the Lord. Our Father in heaven, we do thank thee for this time we've had around these emblems, remembering our Lord Jesus Christ and all that he did for us at Calvary. And Father, we just thank thee for our salvation purchased there at such a price. And thank you that you have instituted this feast every Sunday so that we can continue to remember him and not forget. And Father, do be with our brother Harold as he speaks now. Guide and direct and bless and speak through him to the hearts of each one of us here. For we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
In the old days, Bill Whiting used to ask me in advance for a title or a heading for the message. So this morning, I said, well, I should try that. What I came up with was the following: togetherness, fellowship, and service. Okay, so whatever that is, that's what it's going to be, more or less. Togetherness, fellowship, and service. And I'm going to start out this morning by telling you my story of the week, and it'll sort of lead on to what happens. But I found it very, very interesting on Wednesday evening. Our Wednesday evening ESL Bible studies have been quite small recently, and a concern for a prayer. And but about 8 o'clock, a half an hour late, Ruth walked in, and she came in carrying one of these brochures, and I wasn't really sure about very much, but I was certainly happy to see her. So I asked her how she came, and she didn't give me a detailed answer, but she lives up in Point Grey. Somehow this brochure got to her, and she got to us on Wednesday evening. And she was quite enthusiastic. She says she's a relatively new Christian, and we gave her a Bible. She didn't have one in English. And so anyway, I went home very, very encouraged. And I said, Lord, that's marvelous. So it was Thursday morning, and I got a phone call. And it was just about impossible to decipher. The woman was speaking English, she thought, but I wasn't too sure. And anyway, after a long time, I finally managed to say to her, listen, I'll have someone phone you back. And so I got Jean Chow to give her a call. And as I gave her the number for her to call, she said, you know, yesterday I had another call. And so it's these brochures that my phone number was on. And so somehow these brochures got out and they started working. And so I was very, very encouraged, because that's three contacts that we had from our literature. And some of you were involved in the literature preparation. Chu and Sean put this together. And others of you were involved in the distribution around the neighborhood, and we gave away lots of them. And I was kind of encouraged that they worked. And so that was Thursday. Well, Friday afternoon, I got a call from Barbara Cummings, and she said we'd had ESL registration this morning. And I said, well, that's really, really good. And she said, how many do you think signed up? And I was too afraid to answer, so I didn't say anything. And she said, well, quite a few more than 100. And I said, wow. And we've had big ESL classes in the past, but nothing approaching those numbers. And those numbers are not complete, because many of the regular ESL students don't bother registering. So we've got lots of ESL students. So I thought, this is going to be a good week. And then, of course, yesterday came. It was our hike day, and to sum it up, it basically was a washout. It just rained and rained and rained and rained and rained and rained and rained. And several of you, when the day was over, didn't stay for supper. You had to go home and get changed first, because you were wet from the top of the head to the sole of your feet. And the day was primarily for Sunday school scholars. Others were invited, but it was a Sunday school scholars day. None of them were on the hike, but several of our Sunday school teachers were on the hike, which proves that our Sunday school teachers are a very hardy folk, and they can take it when others can't. So you go sort of go through all that, and you say, what on earth is going on? And the answer is that the Lord is working, and the Lord works the way he works, and when he works, and how he works. And we say, Lord, thank you very, very much. But the question is, how do you handle the work of God? If we've got well over 100 ESL students in here every Wednesday and every Friday morning, how does the assembly handle that? How do they handle the implications of it? Because the ESL group, by the grace of God, has been a door opening to the work of God in a broader sense, and we praise the Lord for that. How do we fulfill the responsibilities associated with it? And I guess I say, well, it isn't the first time we've had situations like that. When we were quite young, we had Sunday school, well over 100 in our Sunday school. We managed to handle it by the grace of God. We had young people's activities that were not quite that large, but Lorna Biggs told us a few weeks ago that there was one occasion when she had 98 people at her house, and I can remember the night we had, excuse me, we had 92 people at our house, and somehow we handled it. We had hobby classes here 20, 30 years ago, and we had over 100 kids in hobbies. We had all kinds of drivers, and we rented vans, and we borrowed buses, and one way or the other, we got them here, and we did something with them. We all got together. We had fellowship in the work of God. We had service flowing from our togetherness and our fellowship. By the grace of God, it worked. And if you go back over those years, you can see that many found the Lord. We praise the Lord for that. And here we are, and we're going into the second half of the year 2015. What's going to happen? By the grace of God, more souls are going to get saved. More lives are going to get changed. And we get all excited about it. How's it going to happen? And so what I did was this week I opened my concordance, And I looked at the word together. And I said, Lord, this, if anything's going to happen, it's going to happen because we do it together with the Lord and together with one another. It's not one person. It's not two or three. It's the assembly working together. And so I said, Lord, could you teach me a little bit about togetherness? And so I tried to go through the references in the concordance too, together, and I learned a few things. The first thing that I learned is that the phrase come together is used very, very frequently in the book of 1 Corinthians. And in particular, it is used, I think, five times in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You'll remember 1 Corinthians chapter 11 relates to the breaking of bread and the service of the Lord associated with that wonderful activity, the worship of the Lord. And so it's 1 Corinthians 11, and then in chapter 14, a couple of references as well. And they are all in the context of coming together. So I said, Lord, it would appear that there is a priority here. And the priority is that the togetherness of the work of God begins at the breaking of bread. John writes to the saints in 1 John, and he says this, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you it's amazing how you can forget what you think you know. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 John, that's right, 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We have fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And consequently, we have fellowship one with another. And that's where it all begins. It begins around the breaking of bread. And the Lord's Supper is truly foundational in the Christian life. Worship must precede service, always precedes service. And our gathering together is a gathering together unto him. And consequently, because we're gathered together unto him, we have fellowship one with another. So that's where it begins. It's interesting, 2 Corinthians. Turn to 2 Corinthians for a couple of verses. 1 Corinthians, all about the theme of coming together for worship. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 11. And it simply says, ye also helping together by prayer for us. Now, how do we work together? Well, we worship together, 1 Corinthians, and then we pray together. And that's really what our prayer time on Saturday morning is going to be all about. What are we going to be praying for? Well, we're going to be praying for those more than 100 names and the additional names that are signed up for ESL this year. And we're praying for all those in our assembly handbook, many of whom we don't see very often, some of whom are in China. Others we're going to be praying for who have been associated with the work here since that book was published a year or two back. We got lots of names to pray for. Paul says, you can pray for me, and you could be helping together in this marvelous work. You pray for me, you Corinthians. Over to chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 1, We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. It's interesting, the simple logic flow, isn't it? We come together to worship. We worship together, and then we pray together, and then we work together. Well, that's what it should be, shouldn't it? There's nothing terribly profound in all that. You would expect that, but that is the frequently referred to logic flow in Scripture. We worship together, and then we pray together, and then we work together. It is very, very common in the world to forget those first two steps. Consequently, it becomes common often in the church to forget those first two steps. We say, okay, we got to work together. Well, we do got to work together. But our work together has got to be preceded by praying together, and that preceded by worshiping together. Well, that's an interesting logic. I tried to follow the logic of togetherness and fellowship and service in the family. How's that go? Well, same way, doesn't it? You're together as a family. And as the family grows together, why, their fellowship becomes very, very close. And then their service flows from that. Service in a family is not a highly structured thing, is it? It's interesting that in the family, the father doesn't get up in the morning and give to each one in the family their 17 responsibilities for the day. And then when they sit down at supper, the father doesn't say, now, tonight at supper, we're just going to go over the 17 responsibilities for each of you. And that's not the way families operate. How do they operate? Well, they operate on the basis of love, don't they? And they start together, having been put together by the Lord, and then they have fellowship together. And in the responsibilities that flow, they work together, they function together, and good families function in a service sense more efficiently than any other structure. Family service is the best. Service should be. Families have got to work at it to make sure that it is, but it is the best when it's done properly. So that's the way things go in the family. So we have our worship time together, and we appreciate that. We've mentioned in the last couple of weeks our refocus on fellowship. And we have our fellowship classes next Sunday. We're going to continue those from the spring. We also have just these fellowship times. And yesterday was, in many respects, a washout. With the exception that we sat around and talked to one another. Some people went on hikes, and some people went to the hike. And I found it much more convenient to go to the hike than on the hike. And so I sat around and talked to everybody, and we had a good time. We came back to the chapel. It took us a long time to get organized and reorganized at the chapel. What did we do? Sat around, talked to one another. It was very enjoyable. When you go to a Bible camp, you often do that. When you go to other things, you often do it. When we come to meetings, I was amazed when I was a boy. I lived across the street from a Roman Catholic church. And I used to stand sometimes on a Sunday morning when I wasn't able, because of sickness often, to get to any meetings. I'd stand and I would watch the people go in. And they went in a bit like zombies. And they came out. I couldn't believe it. That entire building emptied in 2 minutes. They're all gone. And I thought to myself, and I think I asked my parents, what's the matter with those people? And the answer is they didn't know much about fellowship. We, by the grace of God, ought to know much about fellowship. And so we said, we're just going to get together. It'll be 2 weeks today. We're going to get together for lunch. It's going to be unstructured time. You get to sit down and talk to somebody. The idea is that you have more than a hello and goodbye conversation. You might even get to know their names a little better. And by the way, we should today be wearing our name tags because hopefully there'll be some more people coming in this morning who might not know us very well. We'll get to know one another in these fellowship times. We're going to have a very simple lunch and we'll chat and get to know one another. And the more you're together, why, the better it's going to be. It's togetherness, fellowship, and service in that order, isn't it? And so that's the logic that we're using. And we kind of enjoyed that fellowship yesterday. In the rain, there's a happy fellowship. I heard it actually from Bob Murdoch many years ago. And he probably heard it from his father, who probably picked it up from a grandfather. And it comes out of Scotland, a long way back. And you won't understand all the words, but someone was asked, what is the definition of fellowship? And the answer is 4 feet on a fender. Okay? Now, a fender, if you're like Gene Patton, and you can go way back into Scottish history, a fender is the fender that goes outside a fireplace. And when you're really, really got a good fire going and you're cold, you sit up close to the fireplace and you take your feet and you put them out on that. It's almost like a bumper, but it's way down low, and it's the protection outside the fireplace so that your wet feet get dried out first. And if you get 4 feet on that fender, then there's 2 people sitting at that fender. And what are they talking? What are they doing? They're talking while their feet are drying out and warming. And you can imagine many, many Scottish days, and not just Scotland. I'm only making fun of Gene when I talk about that. But all kinds of people in the old days would have had sweet fellowship with 4 feet on a fender, wouldn't they? And so we're getting together, and we're just going to try to get together more. And so that's sort of what's lying behind some of these logics. So I said, well, what else can we learn about togetherness in Scripture? Ephesians. You might just want to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. We've looked at fellowship in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. What is togetherness? In the book of Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 21. How's it read? In whom all the building fitly framed together. How'd that happen? Well, it's very, very simple. The Lord Jesus Christ bought us, and the Father put us together. He fitly framed us together. Why are we an assembly of the people of God? Because we were fitly framed together by the Lord. We didn't choose to be here. He chose us to be here. He put us all together. We're happy that we're together, but it wasn't our making. It was His. If you don't believe that, read verse 22. In whom also you are builded together. And the theme goes on in chapter 4 and verse 16, which says, from the whole body being fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. We are framed together. We are builded together. We are joined together. What is the theme of togetherness in the book of Ephesians? The Lord put us together. He made us sit together. He lifted us up together into heavenly places together. How'd He do it? Well, He put us all together, and He did the right and good job when He brought us together. That's His part. Colossians, you're right there, just over the page. Now to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 19. And it reads as follows: "And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment together and knit together, increases with the increase of God." We are to be perfectly joined together. We are to be knit together. And this verse, as well as one of the verses that we read and didn't emphasize in Ephesians, we have a responsibility. Every joint, every ligament, every part doing its own part to join us together. He brought us together. He made a good job of bringing us together. It's our responsibility to work together, to live together, to continue to be perfectly fit together. That's our part. It's interesting that we have a natural togetherness. And the whole theme, the whole tenor of Scripture in the New Testament on togetherness is that the great theological events that happened to us that brought us to Himself, all the great description of our salvation is a together experience. How did you come to know the Lord? Same way I did. Why did you come to know the Lord? Same way I did. We're all together. There's not one class or another class. It isn't a Jewish class and a Gentile class. It's not the good and the bads. We're all together in our salvation. And because we're so together in our salvation, we have every responsibility, ability to stay together in our fellowship and in our service. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. You know the verse very, very well. Hebrews 10 and verse 25. And it says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is." It's our responsibility to be together. And we can think of reasons why we can't. We can think of problems, but we must not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We are a together people. And I found 2 Thessalonians very, very interesting. I'm not even sure where the verse is. I didn't write it down in my notes. I'm hoping I can find it. 2 Thessalonians. And it is chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him." I thought that's a delightful reason for doing something. "I beseech you, brethren, by our gathering together unto him," where we not only started out the same way we were together then, we are to be in fellowship together and serving together now, but we are going to be gathered unto him together. Oh, what a delightful prospect. What a powerful argument for us to heed the beseechings of the Spirit of God through the apostle and through his servants. Just one other together verse, and that is in the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You know the verse 28. What's it say? It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Isn't that marvelous? All things work together for God, for good. The Lord is behind and he is causing all things to work together for good. And I said, well, if that's the case, then all the saints should also work together for good. And we have that privilege. We have that responsibility. So just a little bit of the logic then that lies behind some of the issues that are confronting us now and some of the opportunities here at 16th. And we're looking forward to the Lord's rich blessing. Saturday morning, 8:30, we get the opportunity to pray together. Bring your prayer list, bring your assembly list, and hopefully we'll have some names to pray for. Lots of opportunity. What do? Well, we get together and we labor together. I guess there's one other item that I had on my list, and I'm going to take 1 minute and simply read it. The question is, how do we work together in the light of the fact that by the grace of God, many are coming into the building to learn English and to hear the truth of the gospel? So I put down 10 roles of 10 roles of the saints in the assembly. There are sowers and there are bringers. There are evangelists and there are befrienders. There are teachers. There are disciplers. There are comforters. There are encouragers and there are trainers. Okay? Somebody walks through the door. What happens then? Well, you say hallelujah for the person who sowed the seed. And you praise the Lord for the one who brought them. And you say, okay, I guess they're here. I'm going to have to welcome them. And then as we have opportunity, we get involved in the work of evangelizing and befriending and teaching and discipling and comforting and encouraging and training. It's a big deal. It all goes on. And not everyone is ideally suited for every position, but you put them all together and we work together in fellowship, together, serving together, so that the Lord brings his blessing. Lord, we're thankful that you have given us the hope of many coming into this building to hear the truth of God. And Lord, we're thrilled that as the ESL classes go on, English is taught, and the Bible is taught, and Jesus Christ is glorified. Lord, would you please see fit to do a great work, save souls, build the church, glorify the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, cause many to be baptized and to mature in the things of God. And Lord, our prayer is that from these that are coming into ESL classes, there will be many who will go to the mission field, in particular back to China, with great blessing to those who they would serve there, their families. Pray for Lily and for Quinn, the most recent exports to China. Lord, you just bless them as they take the gospel to their homeland and to their families. So, Lord, we give thanks. We're looking to you for them, for the blessing upon them and all the others, Lord. Bless us all as we would by grace together fellowship and serve our Savior. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Welcome to all and goodbye. We're going downstairs for something.